This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area Wednesday, February 27th, 2013. A measure to set a legal limit for driving while high unanimously cleared the House Judiciary Committee yesterday. Similar bills failed in the past, but lawmakers say the issue is even more urgent now that voters have legalized recreational marijuana. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The bipartisan bill would set a legal limit of 5 nanograms of THC per milliliter of blood. Republican House Minority Leader Mark Waller of Colorado Springs is one of the main sponsors. He says it'll be similar to laws already on the books for drunk driving.
With the proliferation of marijuana, that just simply means that more Coloradans are going to be driving on Colorado roads with marijuana in their system, and so we need to create protections in law. It's much more difficult to prosecute people without some sort of standard.
Waller also notes that the measure is different from the previous 2 years. It would let people present evidence that they're not impaired, such as passing a roadside sobriety test.
This is created mostly for the folks in the medical marijuana community that say, if I use medical marijuana every day, then I build up a tolerance to marijuana.
That's been one of the main arguments against the bill. Opponents worried a 5-nanogram limit was arbitrary because THC is stored in body fat, making it harder to measure impairment. But proponents say they have strong support this year and note that the state's diverse marijuana task force has endorsed the legislation. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that a work group created by Mesa County's School District 51 to recommend school safety measures is encountering dissension over the use of guns in schools. Member Sarah Schrader, also representing a parent group called Save Our Students, said at the school security and safety work group's fourth meeting Monday that she is not comfortable with the idea of having volunteers or teachers carry guns in schools. Rather, Save Our Students would like to see more school resource officers in Grand Valley schools and the creation of a volunteer force of unarmed school liaisons. There is currently one liaison in every District 51 high school who makes sure doors are secure, redirects students back to class, and works as eyes and ears for school resource officers. Quoting Schrader, "The connection with students is the most important tool they have." Save Our Students also endorses greater use of anti-bullying curriculum in the district and possibly hiring a psychologist to advise on addressing student behavioral issues. Save Our Students founding member Rob Pierce said the group does not endorse group members Rich Batcher and David Cox's proposals of allowing teachers with conceal and carry permits to possess guns in schools or allowing trained volunteers to patrol schools while armed. Pierce said the proposals leave too much room for errors, including the possibility of a student getting a gun away from a teacher or volunteer, a gun being fired during a misunderstanding or by accident, or a person freezing up during a crisis and getting shot before they can fight back. Pierce used several data points in his argument, including a statistic that people with a gun are 4.5 times more likely to be shot than a person without a gun, and that there is a 1 in 76,000 chance that a person living in a home with a firearm will be accidentally shot. Cox said trying to draw a comparison between shootings in the home and shootings in a school is unfair, saying, quote, "I don't think it's a legitimate comparison." The spring migration of greater sandhill cranes has begun in the San Luis Valley. The cranes start arriving in mid-February, flying from their winter nesting ground in Socorro, New Mexico. Large wetland areas and grain fields in the San Luis Valley draw in about 25,000 birds every year. The cranes stop in the valley to rest up and fuel up for their trip north to their summer nesting and breeding grounds in northern Idaho, western Wyoming, and northwest Colorado. Cranes are among the oldest living species on the planet. Fossil records for cranes date back 9 million years. The birds that migrate through Colorado are the largest of the North American sandhill subspecies, standing 4 feet tall, having a wingspan of up to 7 feet, and weighing in at 11 pounds. Besides their imposing size, the birds issue a continuous, distinctive, and haunting call. At this time of year, cranes are engaged in their mating ritual, and the birds perform an elegant hopping dance as they attempt to gain the attention of other birds. The number of cranes in the San Luis Valley peaks in mid-March, and many linger through the month. And, of course, Delta County has its own crane migration, celebrated March 15 through 17 in Eckerd this year, as thousands of birds are expected to visit Fruit Growers Reservoir. The deadline to apply for 2013 limited licenses for elk, deer, moose, pronghorn, and other big game species is April 2nd. Hunters can apply online, the most accurate and convenient way to put in for a license. Hunters can also attend a seminar to be held at the Seed Warehouse at the Escalante State Wildlife Area, located west of Delta, from 6 until 8 p.m. on March 12th. Mark Richman, Colorado Parks and Wildlife District Wildlife Manager for the Delta area, will explain the ins and outs of applying for big game hunting licenses. To register for the seminar, call the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Office in Montrose at 970-252-6000. With over 47,000 fracked wells throughout the state, and the oil and gas industry looking to expand that number in the next decade, Colorado has become an epicenter of the fight against fracking in the United States. KVNF's Marty Durlin spoke to Jim Ramey from Citizens for a Healthy Community about a new coalition of anti-fracking groups.
Today, the newly formed coalition Protect Our Colorado will deliver petitions to the state capitol, calling upon the governor and state legislature to implement an immediate moratorium on fracking. CHC's Jim Ramey talks about the makeup of the new coalition.
I think there's about 24, maybe a little bit more, maybe close to 30, but it's a really diverse, you know, there's farmers, faith organizations, small business organizations, folks from across the state from all different walks of life.
Representatives of some of the groups will deliver the petitions, with signatures garnered through the group's members and contacts. The petitions represent a small part of Colorado's total population, about 0.25%, but the groups hope the petitions will make an impression.
About 14,000 signatures are going to be delivered to Governor Hickenlooper asking for a moratorium on fracking until it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt safe. And we'll also be encouraging our members and everyone to spend 2 minutes to call Governor Hickenlooper, ask him to place a moratorium on fracking, and share the concerns that people have, the very real concerns that fracking and oil and gas drilling threaten many, many important resources.
The CHC is still waiting to hear back from the Bureau of Land Management after winning a lawsuit to disclose the names of companies who expressed interest in leasing 30,000 acres in the North Fork Valley.
So the BLM was ordered to divulge that information within 30 days, which puts it about March 15th. We still have heard no response from the BLM on who it was who nominated these controversial parcels for drilling in the North Fork. We should hear by that date unless they appeal, and we're very hopeful that the BLM will admit that this would be good public policy to do its business out in the open within the eye of the public, and hopefully they will adjust their policies accordingly and we can move forward.
For KVNF News, I'm Marty Durlin.
Thus concludes today's newscast. This is Brian Cambria for KVNF News.